right, everybody. We are heading into week three of the League One season. We had a bunch of drama over the weekend. We had even more drama during the Open Cup. We're here to break it all down, and it's so cool to be able to sit here and talk about it, even while we're on the road doing all this kind of stuff. Well, I'm on the road, but you can
Rich
find me
on the road.
I'm on the road. Welcome to another episode of League One on the Rocks. My name is Rich. You can find me on Twitter at I'm Rich, but I'm not. Joined by the man. What do I want to go with this week? How do I want to introduce you this time? I'm trying to think of this one. I don't know, man.
The disappointed man, I guess you could put it.
Well, I mean, yeah, you were in the Husker hat.
Nebraska still has not won an NCAA tournament game. Yep. And I know that will make at least one Creighton fan that we know very, very happy.
Yeah.
And one of our loyal listeners also very, very sad.
Yeah, that is Brian. You can find him on Twitter at Mediocre Ace. I guess you already spoiled it saying that you're disappointed. How's the day been otherwise?
Other than that, it's been fine until Nebraska decided to not show up at all and kind of just poo-poo on my day, because there's very exciting things happening in the Open Cup. And so we finally got the draw out today. So it's nice to know where everybody's going to be playing. There's a ton of matches that are going to be super interesting and a lot of regional rivalries in this one. So really nice.
So I just finished up with dinner with the team, and I was walking back to my hotel room. I'm here in Richmond, by the way. If you can't tell, this is certainly not what my room looks like back in Statesboro. But I was walking back from the team dinner, and there were some teenagers that were standing around the TV. They were watching a segment of the Husker match or the Husker game. And one of them said, "Man, this sucks. I had Nebraska winning this one." And his friends started making fun of him so hard for picking Nebraska to win. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to keep walking.
Yeah. I mean, history has shown that Nebraska can't get it done, but I mean, A&M just did not have a good offense, and for some reason they found it today, and Nebraska decided they weren't going to play the way they've been playing all season. So
yeah,
I should be used to it as a Husker fan, but it hurts every single time.
Yeah. We were going to record our episode on Wednesday night, and then when the Open Cup stuff happened Thursday night, Union Omaha had their Open Cup match. So here we are Friday talking about everything, and it kind of works out perfectly because we had a bunch of news break, all the Open Cup round two schedules were mm-hmm. So I mean, this is exciting stuff. We get to talk about it all here and now.
It works out.
Yep. Well, before we get into any of that, what are you drinking tonight?
To drown my sorrows tonight, I have some pineapple high noon, and then passion fruit, which I have not had yet, and I'm a little afraid to try, to be honest, but we're going to give it a shot to help quell the emotions from tonight. So
cool. I did not venture out from the hotel to get any alcohol. I could have raided the bar at the lobby, but I'm going to stick with Gatorade tonight.
Always a good choice.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a test, Rich. What kind of Gatorade do you have right now?
Lemon lime.
You have failed the test. Gatorade is always distinguished by the yellow color.
Yeah.
It is never by the actual name. I forgot about that. unfortunately, Rich has failed the test of the Gatorade.
Yeah, as I'm taking the drink, I even had like the name like right in front. Oh, usually I even say the color too. I don't refer to it by the title.
Just unfortunate, but that's okay.
Favorite Gatorade.
Red.
I like
red G2 is it G2? Yeah, the zero sugar one. That's my favorite.
I like the red. I also like the sky blue.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one as well.
Yeah.
There's not really a bad flavor, let's be honest. I think all of them are pretty, they all hit pretty well.
Yeah, I can't remember one that I've had that I didn't like. if I didn't like it, then I just went back to the Old Faithful and just started drinking ones that I do like.
True.
All right, let's get into some action here. So we were going to do the deep dive this week. We're going to push that to next week because we have a lot to talk about tonight. So be prepared for some deep dives next week. Let's just jump straight into some of the week two recaps. How about that?
That sounds good to me. Let's do it.
All right. So we didn't have anybody play twice, but we did have a couple of clubs with a bye week, which included Greenville and Northern Colorado. Our Friday night match, which I forgot to put out a poll that day, and I feel really bad because I know that we would have got some good activity on that one, because it was between Lexington and Chattanooga. Lexington took the victory.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not a foregone conclusion, because Chattanooga actually looked the better of the two sides for most of the match.
Yeah, I'd say the vast majority of this match, Chattanooga kept this Lexington offense on their side of the pitch. There wasn't very many touches for Lexington inside the opponent's, you know, Chattanooga's half, or even inside Chattanooga's final third, which is the thing that is really, really throwing me, because this Lexington team was supposed to be this big offensive powerhouse, this big offensive juggernaut, and they just haven't been so far this season. I know we'll touch on it a little bit later, but with the Open Cup as well, we saw flashes of what they could be on offense, but we haven't seen it in league yet. So it's rather frustrating if I were a Lexington fan to see this much offensive potential not being utilized to its fullest.
Exactly. And I don't want to say that it's getting to the point where it's becoming a joke, but at the same time, with the amount of hype that they received in the offseason, man, this is not the Lexington squad that we were expecting coming out of the gates.
No, I don't think anybody expected this. I mean, I had Lexington as number two in my preseason rankings. I feel like a lot of people had them at number one or number two, and they have not played that style or to that caliber at all yet this season. And it's really shown out in the just kind of the stats even. And I'm not a big stat guy. Even the eye test could have told you they did not play that well in this match. But deep diving in the stats, it really just affirms that position. I mean, this is not a bad Chattanooga Red Wolves team either. Let's be completely honest here. It's not like we're saying Lexington is not playing well because they're playing a bad Chattanooga team. This is a good Chattanooga team. So I don't want anybody to take it as that, but Chattanooga held 57% of the possession in this match. Just crazy. And I mean, had 15 shots on goals to Lexington's 7, 5 shots on target to Lexington's 3. That's not something you would have thought with all of the pieces that Lexington has brought in this offseason. You would have thought it would have been reversed.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you brought up Chattanooga and you gave them proper credit, because as you said, this is not a Chattanooga team to sleep on. I mean, this is a quality Chattanooga team, and they deserve to get their due respect. But the stat that really jumped out to me for Chattanooga, evidence of their defense and how well they played against Lexington, they held Atez Diouf to 2 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those shots were on goal. So if you're able to take Diouf out of the match and you're able to sort of make them utilize other players in that offense, you're going to have a lot more success in beating Lexington just for the sake of taking out a huge goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not even seeing a single shot from Cameron Lancaster either.
No, and that's been Lancaster's kind of issue, especially in league play. I mean, obviously in the Open Cup match, in the Open Cup match, we saw him assert himself a little bit more. But I still really feel like he's trying to feel out how League One plays as opposed to how Championship plays, because I do think that there is a difference. Going between watching Championship and watching League One, there seems to be a difference in the style of play and how physical and aggressive players go into tackles and how they attack the ball. Championship, it's a little bit more of the, I don't want to say Euro model, but more of the, we're going to just pressure you by cutting off passing lanes and being a little bit more clinical and thinking a little bit more about where you could go with the ball. Whereas in League One, it's, I'm going to go take the ball off of you. So I think he still is trying to figure out how to navigate that. And it's not something that everybody learns. I mean, we saw last season with Union Omaha bringing in Steven Dos Santos from Championship. It took him quite a while to get rolling. But when he did, then he was back to the same player we saw in Championship. And I can see Cameron Lancaster being that same way.
Yeah, even looking at the touches, Ortiz Diouf, yeah, he didn't have a terrible amount of touches considering the position and the vital role that he plays for Lexington. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's quite the conundrum for Lexington right now. And you know, Darren Powell certainly has the pedigree to turn things around. I mean, they got the 3 points in this one, so I mean, we can't really complain too much. Sure. You and I both had them winning in this match too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I think it's the strength of play that you and I are both speaking to. Mm-hmm. We were both expecting a lot more of a more dominating victory. But I mean, they're still getting the 3 points, so that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I really want to—I know we touched a bit on Lexington on this, but something that I really want to touch on for Chattanooga is Rapapa Mensah. I mean, dude was all around the Lexington box all night long. And I mean, obviously as a forward, that's kind of his job, but he had a ton of touches in front of goal. So that's going to speak to something that Chattanooga is going to try to do the rest of the season. Obviously we saw last night, he had, I think it was a brace last night in the Open Cup match. So we know, and we know from past experience, he can score. It's just, can they open up enough space for him to get those shooting lanes? Because if he gets those shooting lanes, he'll hit those goals. That's just something Chattanooga is really going to have to work on this season to be able to be as competitive as I think we both feel like they can be.
Yeah, with some of the people that we've spoken with, they seem to feel that Chattanooga is like a bubble playoff team. I think you and I are both of the same mindset that this is an obvious playoff club for this season.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. And I think they have the right elements at their disposal. I think that they're going to be just fine. This is just one of those that they'll look back on later on in the season and think, I mean, maybe we could have got 3 points out of that one, but maybe we should have got 3 points out of that one. But I mean, they're going to be taking care of things down the line, and I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. And I mean, the fact that the XG alone, 2.20 for Chattanooga to Lexington's 0.62, that just kind of shows how dominating they were without doing anything, unfortunately. Yeah. For them.
Yeah.
So really difficult, but some good things to work on if you're Chattanooga. I think you can build off of this, and Lexington is just, this is a win that they kind of desperately needed to maybe change a little bit of the perception around them right now. And it's always nice to get a win and to be able to move on and get that first win behind you. So it's good for him.
Yeah, Chattanooga. Yeah, this is their first match of the season. So, you know, there's going to be that rust factor as well. They had those two quality chances there right before the final whistle or right before the 90th minute and then right after the 90th minute. But, I mean, they're going to have plenty of those chances throughout the match later on. I mean, we saw a strong Chattanooga side in their Open Cup match too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took them an extra time, but when they did score two goals down a man in extra time. So
yeah. Okay. Let's see. You and I both had Lexington winning this one. I gave the fans a free win in this one because I forgot to post the polls, so that's my bad.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So clean sheet all the way around. Next match on Saturday, this one. Oh man, this one was this one had a lot of chatter going on across the league. Spokane hosting Richmond and Spokane taking the 2-1 victory. Man, this one was exciting.
Very much so. And it got exciting fast. I mean, yeah. Spokane scored on, I don't remember if the first one was the corner or if that was the ball played in. But they scored off a corner and a ball played in. So they got it started in the fourth minute of play. And I don't know how many of us saw the match on TV, but that place was rocking. Yeah. 5,086 fans. I mean, Richmond Kickers probably thought that they were sitting in City Stadium with how many fans were in there. You know, they're usually the ones over the 5K attendance figure. So I didn't think that was going to throw them very much. I said as much last week. I don't think it did. I think Spokane just really saw something in Richmond's aerial defense that they wanted to take advantage of and were able to.
Yeah. When we were up in the press box working out some of the stuff up there already at this time, and as this match was happening, we decided to take a look at the crowd, and went just from the camera angle from the broadcast, the other side of the opposite of the camera, that's the away section, and it was packed. So I can, like, if you just imagine the fans that are underneath, like in the grandstand, that's got to be the home side. It's got to be even more packed than that. It's just crazy to think that all those people came out for that match. I mean, and we know it was sold out and they had all the festivities. They had the march. They had the drone shot. Just all these cool things happening. One thing that their social media did that I thought was really cool is they had those sunglasses where they wrote, like, home opener on it or whatever. And they had a montage of people wearing it and it looked really cool. They did a good job with that content. That was cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. The biggest thing that jumped out to me for Spokane, was another round of, chance after chance to put the game away. They obviously had those two finishes. But there's still that worry of them being able to finish, you know, consistently down the line. I think this club is going to be exciting to watch, especially with the style of offense that they have. Biggest thing for me is just to see how they're going to finish their chances. But to do it against a Richmond side with as many veterans as Richmond. Well, actually, I think Richmond's on the younger side this year. So I may be just spouting off on that one. But I mean, this is a Richmond side that has a clear and obvious style that we're all used to seeing, just with different faces. But for Spokane to do that against them, pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I feel like this match is going to be one of those later in the season that we look back on and we really think of it as, is this when Spokane figured out exactly what their identity is and moved forward? Or is this when Richmond figured out where they're weakest at? Now, granted, Richmond in this one, they were missing, obviously, one of the greatest goal scorers in USL League One. They were missing a couple other key players. Coming into next week, this upcoming week, tomorrow, they're going to be missing like five players as well. That's going to hurt Richmond. And a largely unchanged roster, missing some of your best parts again is difficult. I think they deserve a little bit of credit for not folding when they went down 2-0 and got one back shortly after. I mean, the second goal from Longmire was scored in the 15th and Bill Hart scored in the 20th for Richmond. So after that, largely, I don't want to say uninteresting, but a largely unpolished match from both sides. A lot of missed chances, a lot of mishandled balls, and it's just not something we're used to seeing from the Richmond Kickers. Even when last season when they were playing not particularly well, they were still somewhat polished. Their tactics just weren't there. So just really strange to see Richmond play like that and really... Let's see, how do I want to say that? Really uplifting if you're a Spokane Velocity fan, seeing how that they came out and played against one of the premier teams in League One. So there's a lot to see and a lot to like from both of these sides after this one. I think Richmond definitely needs their top players back, but there were signs there that they can get by until those players come back. So between that and Spokane, obviously getting the W at first one at home is huge. That's a big momentum shifter. So we'll see kind of what they do coming forward. If they're going to continue this kind of aerial attack, they do have the bodies for it. They have the players in the midfield and in the wings that can serve those balls in particularly well. So it'll be interesting to see if they continue that this week.
So I want to go back to something you just said. You were talking about if you were wondering if this was a case of Spokane finding their identity or if Richmond, can you go back to that?
Mm-hmm.
Cause I want to kind of examine that a little bit. What was it that you said? You said it was, looking back on this match later on in the season, you couldn't tell if this was going to be a match for Spokane fans, if this was when they found their identity or if Richmond, if this was their lowest point.
Yeah. I mean, it maybe not necessarily Richmond's lowest point, but a point where they kind of figured out what they are going to have to do going forward with what they're going to do with some of these players that have a little bit higher mileage on them, probably will not be able to play all the matches during the season. They're going to have to find a way to be better without specifically Terzaghi. I mean, that they've kind of built their identity around him and they need to be able to play without him because whether it be through injury or through retirement or just through a natural slowing down because he's on the older side for League One now, Richmond's going to have to get some more production out of their other and younger players. So that's kind of the thought behind that. And I don't know which one it's, I guess the better way to put it is, I don't know which one of these things is going to be the bigger takeaway from this match later in the season. I think that's probably what I meant by it, but.
So I think that actually raises a really good point, because I think you weren't as high on Richmond in the preseason votes. I think I was higher. I think I have them as like a bubble playoff squad.
Yeah, I had them wooden spoon winners.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not so harsh on Richmond for this loss, because finally they were on the receiving end of a hostile environment. You're walking into a sold out crowd for their first match ever, like hosting a league match. They have all these festivities going on. The crowd, there's a huge buzz. There's energy in the stadium. For them to finally be on the receiving end of that and to not come out with 3 points, I'm not going to be as harsh against them for this match, for this loss. But I think you do raise a good point where, looking back, is this where they figure out how to adjust and to move forward and really, really dig into some of their tactics to try to make some adjustments for the better? It's going to have to be, because Spokane is coming in with that aerial attack in the final third with all the crosses and the chances that they're creating inside the box. You're going to see that from Union Omaha. You're going to see that from Ford Madison. You're going to see that from, even Fuego. Yeah, I mean, this is a style of play that is pretty common throughout League One. And if Richmond is going to avoid getting the wooden spoon and challenge for a playoff spot, they're going to have to change their tactics. And the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you raised a good point, though. I thought that was a good observation from you.
So we got a couple comments in the live chat. Enrique wants to know, what did you think of the Spokane Stadium? I thought it was
great.
Yeah, I have no bad things to say about that stadium. It's laid out well. The sight lines for the cameras are spectacular, and the fans really brought it. So
yeah,
I got nothing to complain about for that.
Yeah, all the videos we saw on social media during the march, or even the fans submitting their camera angles of the goals that they caught when they submitted them over to Benji over at Spokane Soccer Show. That was just so cool. It was so cool to see all the videos that were coming out of that environment. It looked like it was such a blast.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a bucket list destination for League One fans.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And then Tim with Ranting Blue Penguin Media saying, update on the ages for Richmond. 19 of the kickers are 24 or older. Everyone else, 7 players, are 18 or younger. Seems. So, yeah, the vast majority of their team is on the tail end of what you would call their quote-unquote prime athletic career. Maybe not their best years as a player, but their physical peak is about to where they're at, or maybe just a little bit past them.
Except for Terzaghi, that guy is always in his prime.
He is timeless. When he is not injured, which it's got to hurt being a Kickers fan and finding out that Terzaghi is not playing because of a pretty serious hand contusion that required surgery. So I can only imagine Kickers fans hearing that. It's like, it's on his hand. Yeah, he can't play? He can't play? Why? I would be the same way.
We were on the bus traveling out here, and one of the guys sitting in the row in front of me turned around and said, "Did you hear about Seattle's player?" And I said, "No, I didn't hear about that." And he said, "I got a concussion when he was doing a bicycle kick during training." And I thought, you're doing a bicycle kick during training? Oh, my gosh. Just think, like, the coach heading over like, what the hell were you thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One surprise. So you and I have been tracking all the updates over at League One Updater. Thank you, Alex, for all the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the broadcast, it was just so weird for me to see Maxi Shenfield wearing a Richmond Kickers uniform. Like I would hear his name like, what? He's not with Richmond. And I'm like, oh yeah, there he is.
Yeah. He was an FC Tucson boy. He was no more.
Yeah. Was he the one that was doing this little action over at Morrison Stadium? Yeah.
Yeah. He was definitely one of the players jawing at all of the fans. I'm pretty sure I even got a point and then a hand behind the ear motion from him. So all in good fun. I love that stuff. So
yeah, that was good. I was certainly giving it to him too.
Well, this week, this is another clean sweep across the board.
Yeah.
We all picked Spokane to win, the fans with 60.9% of the vote. Only 8.7% saw a draw in this one, and 30% saw Richmond taking this one. So, obviously fans get the W with that one. Rich, your prediction was Spokane takes the W 1-0.
Yeah.
And my prediction was Spokane takes the victory 2-1. So, it looks like we're going to call that a win plus a bonus, bonus point or half a point on that.
No, you should get a full point, man. If you're getting the exact score, no, give it a full point.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to take it, especially after the start of to the season I've had. I need all the points I can get at this point.
All right, let's move into the next match. Charlotte hosting One Knox. This one was surprising. I did not see this result happening at all. I think, yeah, this one went the other direction with all three parties, you, me, and the fans. We all had Charlotte winning. So, man, congrats to One Knox, though.
Yeah.
They had some really good chances on a consistent basis throughout this match, though.
They definitely looked like the aggressors in this one, which I think is something you have to do when you play the Independents. Just because the Independents is another team that's largely unchanged from last season. So speaking on just seeing them in the playoffs last season, Omaha was a little bit hesitant to really get after them because of the threat of the counterattack that Charlotte imposes. I mean, just being able to get out so wide so quickly, and you want to talk about a team that can send balls in through the air on a pretty accurate rip. Charlotte is that team. So I feel like One Knox came out with this and decided they wanted to really push the tempo and try to keep the ball and just keep moving up the field and bring the fight to Charlotte, which worked out for them. You saw One Knox take a step back defensively in this one, as far as their defensive G plus stats, which again, it's kind of a stat number, but just from the eye test too, their defense didn't look as stout because it looked like they were focusing on the offense, and it definitely got the job done. So some good scouting on that one.
The most surprising stat that I found on this match was that both clubs had 17 crosses. So that's a total of 34 crosses. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like two boxers meeting at the middle of the ring and just constantly hammering each other. I mean, that's, man, this was crazy just to see that kind of the amount of action that was happening in this match too.
Mm-hmm.
Was really surprising. I did not see that. I thought this was going to be much more slow tempo, methodical, really suffocating defensive action. But no, this was full on, like, back and forth, a lot of play going on. This was fun to watch.
Yeah, this was a lot of play in the midfield, which not, I mean, Charlotte, we kind of knew, works through the midfield. One Knox, not nearly as much of a midfield team, but it looks like this season their midfield has stepped up, and that's something that they've really worked on, because it looked like it was working against the Independents. A lot of touches in the middle and a lot of touches out wide for One Knox in this one.
Yeah. And despite Charlotte's loss, it was still good to see Clay Dimmitt getting his goal there in the 75th minute, coming back from injury last season, contributing to his club early on in the season. So congrats to Clay for that one.
I know we had talked about before the season started, One Knox really being that defensive stalwart again this season. But if this match is any indication of what they can do moving forward, we might see them lean a little bit more on one of the best goalkeepers in the league in Sean Lewis and try to be a little bit more aggressive and attack-minded this season. They have the players for it. They have the finishers for it. It'll be really interesting to see when they play their next match, what exactly they're going to do. Yeah. Because I did not see this match coming from them at all this season. I thought they would play defense like they did last season and just be content with that, but it was not the case. So they got a tough one coming up this weekend. We'll see if that continues or not.
Yeah.
They've got Lexington.
Oh, they do, yeah. Ooh, that'll be a fun one to watch too. So do you think this one was a one-off for Charlotte? Or do you think this is truly a One Knox side that has changed their methodologies and they're coming at League One with a new approach?
I think it's a little bit of both. This is the same style Charlotte team as last season, they were very, how do I want to put this? They were very consistent throughout the entire season. They were never too high or too low. And this match is kind of that same feel from them. They never looked like world beaters, but they never looked like a sub playoff team either. So I think that's just indicative of, we know what we're going to get from Charlotte. We know they're going to be a solid, consistent team that's going to take a really good performance to beat every single time that you play them. And as far as Knoxville, I think this is the new look Knoxville. I really think, especially beating a team that went to the finals last season that hasn't seen much turnover, they can look at this match and realize that they can play this style moving forward and be self-sufficient enough on the defensive end that they can get it done even when they shift their focus from defense to offense. So they're going to be scary moving forward once they figure out exactly the exact percentages they want to focus on offense and defense. I think this is a new look Knoxville team this season.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think there's some adjustments to their tactics, and I think it's going to be a little bit of a surprise for some clubs just to see that they're not going to be sitting back. They're not going to try to absorb your attacks time and time again, that they're going to try to counter you and they're going to come at you with some speed. The biggest thing that the fact that people don't have a whole lot of faith in them because of the age of their roster. But then at the same time, they're all veterans. They're all very experienced. There wasn't a whole lot of turnover with that roster. So there's still that established chemistry. It's hard to go against that. So I I don't think that Charlotte is the amount of the amount of talk that we hear about Charlotte not being that good this year. I don't agree with it. I still think that, like you were saying, Charlotte is going to be very consistent. They're going to be a steady threat throughout the entire season. I don't see them having a major drop off this season the way that some people are predicting. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't see them being world beaters, but I also don't see them in 12th place either. So they're going to be one of those teams that they are what they are. You know what you're going to get, and if teams don't take them seriously, then they're going to get bit. And I think the same could be said for Knoxville. I think a lot of teams in the league this season are going to do the same thing. They're going to think of Knoxville as that team that'll just sit back and absorb pressure, and then the only time they beat you is if they get a lucky break coming out, or if they just outpass you through the middle. I don't think that's going to be their thing this season either. I think both of these teams are going to be shifts from what the status quo was last season with them, as far as their playing style. So it's going to be interesting. I think this is, if we're going to talk about what this match kind of means later in the season, I think this is kind of one of those matches. Granted, we're so early in the season, this is all just kind of thoughts at this point, but I think this could be looked at as where both of these teams kind of found out what they were really good at and will look to move forward and expose other teams moving forward. Especially when you look at both of these teams, they were both great offensively. They were both great. So that I look for that to continue, and maybe a little bit more of an emphasis gets put on defense, just because Knoxville and Charlotte both have the pieces there that can have a stout enough defense. But in this league, goals win more often than not, especially with the League's Cup, or the Jägermeister Cup, being the tiebreaker, being goal scored. I think most teams in the league are going to look to bolster that offensive presence anyway.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I'm going to keep an eye on when it comes to One Knox, and I think this is going to be a major contributor to a new look that we may be anticipating from them, is the ball speed. I don't think we're going to see a slow, methodical buildup in their play. I think we're going to see a little bit more up-tempo. I think we're going to see fewer touches on the ball before they complete another pass. So I think this is going to be more of an up-tempo pace from One Knox, and it's going to cause some teams to have to do a little bit of adjustment. But
yep,
if you approach it the way that you do with some other clubs who also play that up-tempo, then I mean, it shouldn't be a huge transition, but yeah, there's going to be an adjustment period. But yeah, ball speed is going to be a big one when you watch One Knox. And yeah, you and I, all three of us had losses on this one. So we can jump into the Saturday night match. Well, I guess this wasn't League One After Dark. That's coming up next. But for this one, this is Tormenta hosting Ford Madison. Ended in a 1-1 draw. Most of the match, at least in the first half, Ford Madison had their foot on the pedal, but I think once Tormenta found the right personnel on the field, they had that moment at halftime to have a little bit of a pep talk to kind of change some of the things that they were doing in the first half, make those adjustments. I think Tormenta was the better side in the second half. And, obviously I'm biased here, but I think they easily could have won the match in the second half too. Ford Madison did have several quality chances in there. They were making it pretty nerve-wracking there for a bit, but Tormenta had their chances in the second half. But it's a 1-1 draw. Look, Madison is a good team. They have a deep bench, a lot of experience. The players that were on the field for Madison, those are some quality players. So for Tormenta to still be finding that chemistry and to battle back the way that they did and you know, capture a point, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think this was kind of a difference in philosophies. I think both of these teams, they play very, very physically, Tormenta and Madison both. Ford Madison played this match without Christian Chaney, but you wouldn't have really known that if you had just kind of tuned in and weren't paying that close attention to the numbers. They still looked very, very dangerous throughout the entire match. And I think once Chaney gets back, this team in a full press, it's just so different. They look more focused with him in there. And I think a lot of that is due to him pulling a lot of that defensive pressure to him because they know how big of a threat he is as a forward. But that's something that definitely you need to look at with Madison moving forward. And as far as Tormenta goes, there was some bright spots in this match. But for me, the biggest thing with Tormenta this season so far is just the build-up play has looked so disjointed at a lot of times in this season. They don't look like they're always on the same page. Now, that could be due to 80% roster turnover. That's never going to make things easy at the beginning of the season. It's something that I look for them to improve as the season goes on. I don't think they're going to continue to look this disjointed. But in this one, like you said, Rich, later on in the match, they look to kind of find their groove. And obviously, you know, scoring the equalizer late like they did, that's twofold. That's kind of something Tormenta has been doing recently and something Ford Madison has been doing recently. Excuse me, as far as giving up equalizers late and scoring equalizers late. So that it's just kind of something that both of these teams have shown in the past, and you didn't learn a whole lot from this match. It just kind of looked like the status quo for both of these teams for long swaths of the match.
So Christian Chaney was on the field for a bit in the second half, but they opted to go with Juan Galindres.
Mm-hmm.
And even more so, Glazer decided to go with a 5-4-1 to start the match. Do you think Madison should have Juan Galindres and Christian Chaney on the field at the same time?
I think if they're both 100% healthy, I think that is two threats that you have to pick your poison and the other one is going to hurt you. So if it's me and they're both healthy, yes, they absolutely need to drop into the, I can't say traditional 4-4-2 in terms of Madison because they usually play a three-back set, but they need to drop into their traditional three-back set with two strikers, or they need to go to a 4-4-2 or 4-3-2, 4-4-2. Excuse me. But
you and I have seen Ford Madison play, what was that, like a... When they came to Omaha, they were playing some fluid formation where it looked like a 3-5-2 on offense, but then on defense it was like a 5-3-2 on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But the fluidity in their movement and the adjustments that they were making when they came to town against Union Omaha, mm-hmm, was incredible to watch. It was just, wow, those guys really caught on to Glazer's system and were making it work really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised to see him throw that same formation. So this is the weird thing. They came out with that, with the 5-4-1 against Ford on Earth against Tormenta, but their bench, didn't they have like four strikers on their bench?
Oh, let's check their bench. They did have an influx of guys that can score. I don't necessarily know if they'd be considered strikers, but maybe attacking midfielders, wingers, and strikers, kind of a combination of them. I mean, yeah, this team is built around that offensive identity.
So that's what kind of surprised me. You're coming out with that formation with those pieces on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go for blood, go for it.
Sure.
So that's, even as I was looking at the starting lineup and looking at their bench, I was doing this like double take back and forth. Like, seriously, this is mm-hmm. what's happening.
Yeah. I just wonder if they're concerned about some of the speed, especially on the left side of Tormenta's line. And they wanted to hold off some of that pressure, or some of those runs that the left side of Tormenta can eventually make. I mean, you got guys like Jackson Corey on that side, and I mean,
Lombardi,
yeah,
Pedro Fonseca, he can put himself into threatening, you know, situations. You haven't heard this name a whole lot, but you're going to hear it throughout the season. His name is Ajmir Spengler. This dude is a fighter. I think he's maybe 5'6", 5'8". Mm-hmm. But when you watch him with the ball, he doesn't show any fear at all. He will go after anybody. And it's so much fun to watch him play.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about speed and that aggressiveness on the left side for Tormenta, that's one of the names you're definitely going to be talking about.
Yeah, it's definitely something I think that Madison thought about. And I mean, even coming out and getting a draw, you got a draw on the road, right? If you can do that on for every road match, you're sitting pretty, right? So I feel like that was part of it. Granted, we're also still rather early in the season. So a lot of these teams it may not be the ending formation that they play the rest of the season with. So there's definitely room to build up from here. So we do have a question here in the live chat again from Enrique, and they would like to know, how deep is Tormenta's bench? Rich, this is right up your alley to take this one.
It is. So Tormenta does have some quality on the bench, and it's players that League One may not be totally familiar with, but is going to grow to learn more about them as the season progresses. And yeah, these are guys that you're going to want on your team. You know, obviously there's a few of the guys that are on international duty right now, but moving forward, I mean, this Tormenta bench, especially once the chemistry and the pieces are put together and you get the right personnel on the field at the same time. This Tormenta team could, you know, turn some heads this season.
Yeah. And Luke Martin coming in saying Ian Cameron spoke highly of Spengler at his press conference yesterday. So
yeah,
another, and we know that Ian Cameron knows players as well. So, that is high praise coming from a guy like him. So, but yeah, this one, I mean, it ends in a 1-1 draw. I know Tormenta probably wanted a little bit more, and as you alluded to, Rich, probably looked like the team that was going to do it towards the end of the match. But coming out with a 1-1 draw, both teams get a point. So probably not the outcome either team wanted, but one that you can take and build on going into the next week.
Yeah, and you know, credit to the Ford Madison players, because they were nice after the match. You know, went out there to shake some hands and talk to them a little bit. And despite some of the, you know, the big tackles and the physicality in that match, there was still that sort of what happened on the field, we're going to keep it on the field type of attitude. So when we were going around shaking hands and everything, you know, wishing, you know, safe travels, good luck with the rest of the season, we'll see you later on, and all that kind of stuff, there was some good talk going on. So credit to Madison for being polite and good competitors on the field and then being polite afterwards. That was cool.
Very nice.
Yep.
So this one, I think, let's see, Rich, you obviously you can't pick Tormenta matches, so you were not in this one. I predicted a 2-1 victory for Forward Madison, so I took the L on that one. And actually, the fans' vote was split between a Tormenta win at 44.4% and Madison win at 44.4%. So the fans somehow, with the stats in their favor, also lost this one with the 1-1 draw, only 11.1%.
Oh, I love it.
That. So unfortunate, but we both take L's on this one, fans.
Yep. And then we get our first dose of League One After Hours, or After Dark, sorry.
Yeah. League One After Dark is back and in full swing, and I am here for it.
Yeah. Fans had the utmost confidence in this prediction. 67.7% of fans had an Omaha win in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all won on this one as well. I had a 3-0 Union Omaha victory. Rich, you had a 2-0 Union Omaha victory. So all three of us get the wins for this one. You know, it's crazy to talk about League One After Dark, and I wish I had seen this one and League One After Dark. Maybe not wish that I had seen it. I mean, I was at a concert. I had a great time, so that was nice. But I was receiving updates during the concert, and that didn't get over till 12:30. So I watched League One After Dark at 9 o'clock in the morning the day after the match. So either way after dark or way before dark, whichever way you want to look at it. But this one, I mean, Central Valley Fuego just can't shake Union Omaha at home. They did finally score a goal against Union Omaha at home, but Central Valley Fuego, as we talked about last week, has never beaten Union Omaha in Fresno, and that continues after this week's match. But not necessarily because they didn't look like they could get it done, because that press is no joke. I mean, you saw one of the best goalkeepers in the league nearly give away the game a couple times in this match. Central Valley's Fuego's press is no joke, and it's looks like something Coach Jones really emphasizes in practice, and it shows.
Yeah, the speed of play is a huge component of their capabilities, and the way that they pressure high. They rotate fast across the field. They, most of the time when you and I talk about keeping lines straight, keeping them tight, all that kind of stuff, we talk as if we are seeing the field laid out horizontally in front of us. But what you're seeing from Central Valley Fuego is they're shutting down the field from a vertical standpoint. They're mm-hmm. not giving away any of those passing channels to advance up the field. They're constantly forcing you to swing the ball back and forth to try to find some sort of weakness in their midfield, and they're not showing it. And by having that sort of position and the pressure allows them to press higher and higher and to try to force you into kicking a high lobbing 50-50 aerial challenge right around the midline. And then they can pick up the ball, get the turnover, and try to create an offensive opportunity. I mean, this is a Fuego team that we are not used to seeing.
No, this is definitely a Fuego side that will win some matches this season. And in this one, I really do think you hit it right on the head when you said that Fuego is going to force you to try to force the ball into the air. And try to win those aerial duels. And I think that I think you stumbled on the exact reason why Fuego ended up losing this match. They lost the aerial duels battle. Granted, with Union Omaha, this is a tall team. I think that's something that Coach Casciato likes about players is some of their height. There's only a couple players on this team that seem like they are below 6 foot tall. So height is definitely something he likes. Omaha won the aerial duels 56% to 43% in this one. So I think you really just stumbled across the biggest, or maybe not stumbled across, you found the biggest deciding factor in this match, because both teams looked at times in complete control, and other times both teams looked like they were really struggling to get anything moving. But this is going to be one of those matches that you look back, since that's kind of the common theme tonight. I think we just stumbled across that, but this early in the season, this will be one of those where I think you look at Central Valley and you're like, whoa, this is where they kind of show that they can really play with the big boys. Granted, that is a completely biased take from a Union Omaha fan, but I still think most people would say that Union Omaha is one of the stronger teams in the league this season. So now Central Valley has gone in and gotten a victory at Tormenta and played a very tough match against one of the top teams in the league. This is definitely not the Central Valley Fuego of last year or the year before. And it's going to be super interesting to see where they end up. I'm not necessarily convinced that this is a playoff team quite yet, but this is, right now, the way they're playing, this is not a wooden spoon winning team either.
Oh, absolutely not. No. It's funny, because I have this image in my head of all the teams in League One sort of set up like, I'm just going to describe what I see in my head, like these medieval castles set up across the country, and Fuego came to Tormenta, and like Tormenta's sending out they're sounding the alarms and alerting all the rest of the castles across the country, like, hey, this is not the same Fuego, like be on high alert. And then, you know, Omaha goes out there and like, now they see them face to face, like, okay, this is not the same Fuego. So I feel like we're going to be seeing that consistently throughout the season as they go up against whoever their next opponent is. Like, they're looking at the rest of the teams across the league, like, you guys need to prepare for these guys.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a difference in theory between what Coach Jones wants to do and what the prior regime wanted to do. Obviously, we know, just from the Tormenta match and then this match, Fuego's going to run. They're going to be a team that prides themselves on their conditioning. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they play in Colorado or in Spokane or, you know, anywhere else in higher elevations. I think Northern Colorado is going to be their biggest. Oh, wow factor. So I'll hold off judgment on the conditioning of the Fuego team until that happens, because that, as we've all seen, Northern Colorado can take the best teams and, or the most conditioned team, and really take the wind out of their sails. So, but it'll be super interesting to see if they can continue it all season. It's a long season, but, there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Central Valley Fuego fan. And on the flip side, Union Omaha comes out and gets a victory in their first match of the season. Not as polished as Union Omaha fans would like, I would say. Again, kind of shaky out of the back, and something you're not used to seeing from Rashid Nuhu, being a little uneasy or a little almost giving the ball away. He has done that at times in his career, but not nearly as often as you saw it in this match. So I wonder how much fifth year nerves really get into him. That'll be something to keep your eye on as well. I still think he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league. And that's not even being a homer. I think most people would agree with that one. But definitely some things to build on for Union Omaha and also for Central Valley Fuego. And I think this is, you learned a lot from this match about both of these teams.
Yeah. So as a Union Omaha fan, let me ask you this. Is there any part of you that is scared for Fuego to visit Warner Park? Fuego performs better when they play in Warner Park. It's a smaller field, so that speed and pressure is going to be, there's not going to be as much reaction time for Union Omaha. So are you scared for that?
I don't know off the top of my head when Fuego comes to Omaha. I know it's at least going to be a few weeks because I know Omaha's opening league match, because now obviously the Open Cup, their first league match isn't until April 20th. So they have at least until then to kind of figure everything out and be able to play out the back a little bit more consistently and easier. So I wouldn't necessarily say I'm afraid to see that. I'm excited to see Central Valley Fuego show up because yes, I am a Union Omaha fan, but I also do a podcast with you about the league. So I just love the league in general. Thank you, Tim. Ranting Blue Penguin Media. May 29th is when they host Fuego.
Nice.
So that's still a few months away. There's going to be a ton of games under their belt. I think they'll get it figured out by then. But it'll be super interesting to see Fuego on a smaller pitch, that this team could be very dangerous on a shorter pitch. And they've proven that they can beat Omaha at Warner Park, as you said earlier, Rich. So
yeah,
definitely be interesting. But being the biased Union Omaha fan that I am, and with the success Union Omaha has had in their seasons, I don't feel necessarily scared of anybody coming into Warner Park. Union Omaha also plays teams very, very well at home. So their home record's pretty damn good. So I'm more afraid to go play them in Fresno with their entire capacity crowd there, because those 1,000 fans that were there, and it was capped at 1,000 fans, they're excited to see some Jermaine Jones Fuego playing.
Yeah.
So
we were all in agreement on this one being a Union Omaha win. So that was a win across the board for all of us. So at the end of the week, we were all 3-2. But you take the week because you had the bonus win. So congratulations. Wear the belt with honor for the week. Overall, the fans are still ahead. They are 4-4. You are 3-5 with the bonus. We still need to figure out how the bonus is going to work. And then I'm 3-5 flat. So I'm in third place behind y'all.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to thank my parents for always believing in me, and I would like, it's no, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Don't leave out Colin. Don't leave out Taylor. Don't leave out your kids.
Oh no. All of them would definitely get a shout. If I were to actually have any awards in my name, I don't think picking a few matches that I watch very, very much, as a trophy worthy thing, but.
Okay, so coming on the heels of the Oscars last weekend and sitting here talking about awards and acceptance speeches, if you were to win an award, would you already have a pre-prepared acceptance speech?
Oh, hell no.
You would wing it.
Gotta wing it, man.
All right.
Gotta wing it. I think I would have to wing it because 9 times out of 10, I would just assume I'm not going to win and I probably just wouldn't have anything prepared.
Yeah.
So I think that's more of what it is. Tim pointing out too in the live chat, bonus between us two because the fans don't get a chance to guess the score or get a bonus.
True.
That's fair.
That's true.
So the fans are still leading. So
fans are still leading now.
It's a moot point right now, but if it comes down to the end of the season where one of us, probably Rich, is tied with the fans for first place, then we'll have to figure out how we're going to do that when we get there. Maybe we'll do something for the finals where the fans have to guess a score as well. A little easier to keep track of that one.
When we did score predictions at Who Gives a Hoot, I won that one. What was it, 2021? I don't think we did it in 22 or 23. But in 21, I won that season. I was proud of that one.
Did you have an acceptance speech for when you won that one?
No, I didn't have a trophy. It was just sort of like, it wasn't even a pat on the back. It was just like, hey, cool. Yeah, I'm still waiting. I haven't slept a single night since that moment. I'm still waiting for my moment in the limelight.
Well, that's not really fair, Rich, because you don't sleep in general anyway. For anybody that doesn't know, Rich just, like, I swear this man works on like an hour of sleep a night, and I really think he's just fueled by caffeine all the time. I think his body is, he no longer has blood in his body. It's just caffeine.
Yep. Yeah, it's bad. But it's actually awesome at the same time. All right, let's jump. Oh, so we had US Open Cup this week too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty exciting. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday all featured Open Cup matches. So we had 4 matches on Tuesday. We had 6 on Wednesday, and then 3. No. What was it? We had 4.
Thursday, we had 1.
Oh, we had 3. There were 5 on Wednesday, and then there were 3 on Thursday.
Right.
Yeah.
Tim, everybody really quick, coming in saying is that because Luke doesn't know how to count past 3-0 Union Omaha? Alluding to Luke always picking Union Omaha to beat whoever they're playing 3-0. Yeah, probably that might be it.
Yeah. You work with what you're given. So if he's going to go 3-0 every single week, then fine. I'll take
it. Oh, man. These Open Cup matches were, it's great. It's honestly, it's just great to see the tournament back. Yeah. I loved watching it. I watched at least a little bit of every single one of these matches. It was amazing. I think my wife and kids are a little tired of watching soccer for a little bit because it was just on in the background most of these days. So, and then funnily enough, I was watching the most of the Union Omaha match yesterday on my phone instead of on the TV. So I watched every other match on the big screen TV, and then the first half of the Union Omaha match on my phone. It was kind of weird.
Nice.
But I will say, not that the quality of the camera in the Union Omaha match deserved a 65-inch TV. My phone was good enough for that one, but it was super interesting to see all of these matches back, and again, just great to see it, honestly.
Yeah. And all 12 League One clubs were in action. Only one club lost in every single one of these matches. So at the end of the week, 11 League One clubs claimed victory and moved on to the second round. which is incredible if you think about it, because now that we're looking at the second round, well, I mean, before we get into the second round, we can go through some of the scores of the first round. Because Ford Madison defeated Duluth FC 2-0. Vermont Green defeated Lexington. Tormenta FC defeated FC America CFL Spurs. Northern Colorado Hailstorm defeated Tulsa Athletic. Shout out to Linners and Woozers for making the trip all the way down there to watch that match.
10-hour drive, man.
Yeah.
Committed.
Yeah.
Man, Richmond, they are lucky they won, because I can't imagine that 10-hour drive back if they would have lost. I mean, yeah. I saw that sounded like everybody down there, and knowing from the Midwest, I'm sure they know in Colorado too. Most people are awesome people, but just some of the updates they put up. If you guys haven't seen it, go to the Linners and Woozers Twitter page. They met with the bar owner there, even gave him a scarf that they kept. So, yeah, I couldn't imagine that drive back 10 hours if you would have lost in the open
cup. Yeah, that would have been so demoralizing.
I'll tell you what, I drove 3 hours back from that Union Omaha Sporting Kansas City match where we just got smacked 6-0, and that was the longest 3-hour drive of my entire life.
That sucked. Yeah. Yep. That was not a fun one. But I tell you what, the drive back from Chicago and Minnesota, those were fun ones.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even driving back, but they were still fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And then Richmond defeated Christos FC. Greenville defeated South Carolina United FC. Oneknox defeated Asheville City. Central Valley Fuego defeated FC Folsom. Spokane defeated Ballard FC on a last-second goal.
That's a good two-side as well, a USL two-side. Yeah. So that's a big win for Spokane in their first U.S. Open Cup match.
Yeah, there's only two USL League Two clubs left.
Yeah, they got punched around pretty good at this one.
Vermont and Des Moines are the only ones left in USL Two.
And Vermont taking down Lexington.
Yeah.
Super impressive.
Yeah.
Because that is a very good Lexington side. But I will say, I didn't put it up on Twitter, but I do have it on my phone and it is timestamped. I did do my picks for the Open Cup, just never got around to actually putting it out there. I did pick Vermont over Lexington.
Did you really?
I had a feeling. It was just a gut feeling. One of those, when you know, when you're filling out your March Madness brackets and you're just like, I got a good feeling about this one. That's exactly how it felt for Vermont Green.
Wow. So you were 100% in US Open Cup matches?
No.
Oh.
Nope. I definitely missed on some of the other matches. The ones that I definitely missed on was the last one last night. I can't even say their name.
The German club versus Charlotte.
There was another one last night too.
Chattanooga and Brockton.
No, it didn't have a USL one team in it. It was a MLS two side, and then
was it Timbers two?
No. It was an MLS Next Pro side, the one in California that just changed their name. That I think it's
LA Galaxy.
Yeah, their club that just switched names this season and moved their team from LA to like a suburb to probably draw more fans and be in a different community. But really cool that they did it. I just forget the name of it, but they played last night. I missed on them. What's that?
Didn't it start with a V? Ventura County or something like that?
Yes. Yes, that was it.
Yeah.
And they played, I think it was a UPSL side.
They played Irvine Zeta FC too. Yeah, UPSL.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed on that one, and I missed on a couple of the USL 1 teams for sure. I thought USL 1 was going to have a worse showing than they did. I mean, 11 of the 12 teams making it through. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah. So the $25,000 race for last remaining Division III club is still heavily crowded, because even though we started off this round with 31 clubs, 32 before the NISA club Georgia Lions dropped out, we now have 24 remaining clubs in this race for $25,000. We have 7 clubs from MLS Next Pro. We have 6 from NISA, and then we have 11 from USL, League One.
Let's go League One. Get that money.
Still a packed crowd, but obviously with more clubs coming out of USL League One, hopefully that $25,000 is going to be coming to one of our clubs.
For sure.
Yeah. And no matter what, at least one League One club will be moving on, because with the round or the second round announcements coming out today, one of those matchups was a League One versus a League One showdown. And that one was One Knox versus Greenville Triumph. So no matter what, League One is going to be moving on to the third round.
Very nice. I mean, just going through some of these, I think League One is going to have multiple teams moving through into the third round. But yeah, just going through it, on Tuesday, April 2nd, the Kickers host the Maryland Bobcats FC. Charlotte Independence hosts South Carolina United Heat. Jeez, I forget how long some of these UPSL names are. Wednesday, April 3rd, One Knox hosts Greenville. That's going to be one definitely to look out for. One I'm excited for, and I'm sure you are too, Rich, is Tormenta hosting the Savannah Clovers FC. Oh, yeah. I know we talked about that before the season started, and I know you wanted to have that match happen, so it's cool to see that that one's coming on.
Yep.
Apotheos FC?
Apotheos, yep.
Apotheos of NPSL.
Atlanta.
They host the Chattanooga Red Wolves. Yep. Spokane Velocity host the Los Angeles Force. Chicago Fire FC 2, who hosts Forward Madison. Also boo. Union Omaha hosts the Des Moines Menace. And we know that Lagos Kunga was formerly of the Des Moines Menace. So he got exactly what he has asked for on Twitter. As soon as Union Omaha won their match, he was calling for a Des Moines Union Omaha match. So he got exactly what he wanted. And that's perfect. Colorado Rapids 2. Host the Northern Colorado Hailstorm. That'll be a good one. I know the Litters and Woozers boys are going to be on that one big time. And then the Central Valley Fuego host, there you go. Rich got it. Of NPSL. That's still date and time and the venue to be determined. I'm sure they have to work with Fresno State to figure out exactly what they're going to do for that one. So,
yep.
Soup Loop's coming in saying, been waiting for the Clovers matchup since they were announced as a team. So, Soup Loop's the big Tormenta supporter, obviously. That means a lot to him as well. Yeah. And Tim with Ranting Blue Penguin Media saying, Lagos knew and the draw is rigged. We know the draw was rigged from before this, with the envelope draw. Was that last season or the season before? We already knew that. So, and Fuego versus Burritos, yum. Tim says as well. So those would be good. There's a lot of really interesting matchups in that, and I can't wait. And I also can't believe it's a couple weeks away from the next round of Open Cup.
Yeah, we are not far away at all. Because like you said, it was April 2nd and 3rd. Yeah, I mean, we're less than 2 weeks, week and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's exciting.
It's cool. As a Union Omaha fan specifically, because we'll get to see the team play in person before the home opener on April 20th. So that'll be fun. I can't wait. And I will say they're playing at Coniglia again, which is University of Nebraska Omaha's venue. That's always a really cool venue to play at as well. So, and it's treated us well in the Open Cup, as Northern Colorado Hailstorm fans know. So,
and Tim at Ranting Blue Penguin is going to be doing coverage for the Cup. So he'll be doing post-match coverage for them. Yeah.
Awesome. Exciting. Congrats, Tim.
Yeah. He was just brought onto the team today. So congrats to him. That's cool.
Oh, breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news.
This is what we're here for, some breaking news. And yep. It's always cool to when you always feel like geeked out when I'm talking, because I know Rich has written for the Cup, and now that I know Tim and Tim's writing for the Cup, that's
crazy.
And John, yeah. Yeah, everybody, man. So many friends doing so much stuff, man. It's hard to keep up, but every time something comes out, make sure you guys plug it, because I definitely read anything anybody puts out. There's so much stuff, and I am a giant League One soccer nerd, so keep it coming, boys.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of League One nerds, we have plenty of matches coming up this weekend. We have four teams that have a bye week this week. Nobody plays twice. Those clubs with a bye week are Chattanooga, Charlotte, Central Valley, and Union Omaha. Every match is going to be played on Saturday. And first up, we have Richmond versus Tormenta. Where are we at in our time? Yeah, we're right on 90 minutes. So,
yep.
All right. Let's just go quickly through these. I don't know if we even have any questions for tonight either.
I did not see any questions yet. If you guys have questions, you can go ahead and throw them in the live chat, and we'll get them as soon as we get done with the previews. But as Rich said, we'll kind of go through them quick. We'll maybe do a quick sentence or two on each team and what we think, and then we'll just give our score predictions. Tim's question is, what are your predictions for this weekend? Perfect. Tim, we're going to answer that right now for you, all right? So Richmond and Tormenta, a couple of teams that need a win, definitely need a win. A couple of teams that have definitely looked better than they have the past couple weeks before. This one, I feel like obviously Tormenta's up in Richmond. I'm expecting a big amount of fans. I don't know what the weather looks like up there. Rich, you can probably speak to that since you're there, but
it's a little chilly and it's a little windy, but nothing terrible.
I think we'll see a good turnout. I think Richmond will turn out like they usually do. This one's tough to call. For me, it's kind of a toss-up. I don't really know a whole lot about both of these teams right now. I have reservations about both of them. So I got to go with the home team and give Richmond the edge 2-1.
This one could get ugly because let me go back to some of these stats here. Nine out of the last 10 times that Richmond Kickers and Tormenta have played have seen four or more cards. And then there's also been a card inside the first 30 minutes in eight of the last 10 matches between Richmond Kickers and Tormenta. So those cards come frequently and they come early. But when Tormenta and Richmond play, Tormenta has scored the opening goal of the match in the last five times that Tormenta has visited City Stadium. So there's some key stats there. But I'm obviously biased here, but I'm super excited for it. I think it's going to be a great match.
I also think it's going to be a great match, and I'm not biased in this one at all. So it'll be a good one. Definitely one I'm going to look forward to watching. The next one we got is 6:30 PM. It's Knoxville versus Lexington. thank you, League One, for spacing these out a little bit more evenly this year. But Knoxville and Richmond or Lexington is
This is battle for the barrel.
This is the battle for the barrel. I like a nice derby.
Yeah.
This one, we kind of talked about what Knoxville is like, the new look Knoxville, and Lexington that hasn't lived up to the hype quite yet. And in a derby match, it's going to be hard, I think, for Lexington to really right the ship against this Knoxville team. This Knoxville team looked really good against Charlotte. I just don't think you come into Knoxville in a derby when Knoxville has looked good and Lexington has looked okay. I like Knoxville to take this one 1-0.
Okay. You said Knox 1-0?
Yes, Knoxville 1, Lexington 0.
All right. Let me read off some fun stats for this one.
Like it.
The last two games played between One Knox and Lexington at One Knox's home grounds have seen at least one red card. And One Knox has conceded the first goal of the game in their last three home matches. Lexington have failed to keep a clean sheet in their last 18 away games. So yeah, there's some action heading into this one. For me, seeing the way that Knoxville played, last week and also in the cup during the week, I have to think that there's going to be an elevated level of play from Knox. But at the same time, like, this could be a huge bitter, type of performance from Lexington to try to shake that monkey off their back,
It's a derby.
Oh man, it is a derby. I don't want to go with the draws. I don't want to play safe. I'm going to go Lexington 1-0. 1-0.
The reverse.
Yeah. What did you say for Richmond Tormenta?
I had Richmond winning 2-1.
2-1. Okay. All right. Next match, Greenville and Madison.
Ooh, this is a tough one. These are two pretty decently evenly matched teams in my book. Greenville has looked good in that win against Spokane. I will say something that has been rolling around in my head since I've listened to a lot of different podcasts about it. I think Greenville is patting themselves on the back a little bit too much for beating an expansion side. Not that Spokane is a bad side, but you just don't know a whole lot about them after one match. And I think Madison, I have Madison pretty high in my rankings. I'm still pretty high on them now. I think Madison comes in and gets the job done in Greenville and beats them 2-0.
You think Madison wins 2-0?
I think Madison beats them 2-0.
All right. Let me read off some stats for this one. So Leo Castro has scored in the last two matches for Greenville Triumph. In each of those matches, Greenville has won. So obviously, if Leo Castro scores tomorrow, Greenville wins. They can just like call the match at that point.
Because that's the precedent. Yeah, the precedent is set.
There you go. The last three matches between Greenville Triumph and Ford Madison has seen at least one penalty. So that's an extra added dose of drama that could be included in tomorrow's match as well.
Well, you just have Leo Castro take the penalty, and then there you go.
There you go. Make it a walk-off winner right there.
Gio, sorry, buddy. I had to. I got to go with what I actually feel. Take the notes. You can clip it if you want to. And if that comes to fruition, then use that sounder. Use the sounder all you want.
Here's another stat for you. Greenville Triumph have only won one of their last five matches against Ford Madison. So, but here's also a key stat. Greenville Triumph also has not conceded in four of their last six home matches against Ford Madison. We know that Greenville plays a lot better at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with a Greenville upset. I'm going to go Greenville 1-0.
1-0 to Greenville. I can't be mad at it. That's fair.
Yeah.
So we got the last one here. It's going to be a League One After Dark match here at 9 o'clock with Spokane hosting Northern Colorado Hailstorm. Oh, another home match for Spokane. I do think this is a good Spokane team. I think they are definitely a team that you have to watch for the crosses. But I also think Northern Colorado is a team that can deal with that. I think if any team in the league can deal with it, there's a couple. I think Northern Colorado is one. I think Union Omaha is the other with their size. This one, I think this is a toss-up. I really feel like Northern Colorado is going to come in and get the victory on this one. Damn, Rich, I saw you throw that one in there quick.
No, you can take it. I haven't said it yet.
No. Give me Northern Colorado 3, Spokane Velocity 2.
Ooh.
It's going to be a high-scoring affair. I don't like either of these defenses. I'm not going to like either of these defenses throughout the entire season. That's going to be a common thread moving through the entire season. So, yeah, I like NoCo to win it, and I'll go 3-2.
Okay. I'm going to go NoCo 2-1. I think despite the crowd, despite the adversity, I think NoCo can take this one.
Yeah, I think the crowd in Spokane is going to be rocking. Like that, there is a 0.000% chance that Spokane does not bring it every single week in and week out. That it's obvious from their first match that city just gets it. So I think, I mean, this is going to obviously be this is obviously way off the beaten path and a different kind of matchup. And we're not talking about on the field matchup, but this is a call to the rest of League One. I think Spokane and Richmond are going to be fighting neck and neck for the attendance crown this season. And that's something Richmond had in hand easily last season. But don't sleep on Ford Madison either. I think they can also get up there. So it's going to be a nice 3 or 4 or team draw for the attendance crown this season. So I don't care who wins it. I just want to see more attendance at these matches. So, but I think Spokane is definitely going to be showing out on the fan front, but I just think Northern Colorado is just top to bottom on paper a better team. So yeah. I'll take them.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I like it.
I mean, we're so early in the season, too. Right now, all we can really do is go off paper and the very, very little amount we've seen all of these teams. So,
yep. All right. I checked our social media. I didn't see any other questions coming in. Let me check over to the live chat. Nope, don't see anything there.
Gio said he's going to clip my Greenville slander. He didn't say that, but he just put a scissors emoji And Tim saying, damn, that's some disrespect on Delgado there. It is a little bit, but yeah, I think Spokane can score goals. I think they're definitely going to be able to do it. But I think Northern Colorado has a little bit more. Plus, they've got my MVP pick for this season, Billy King. So got to throw a little respect on his name.
Yeah. Yeah, you're riding high on the Billy King train. And so is Eamon. Eamon Zayed. He's really, really hyping Billy King this season too, which, I mean, deservedly so, but still.
Enrique saying thanks, guys, as well. So.
Hey, we've been calling in favor of Spokane recently. Mm-hmm. We're not going to, you know, vote for Spokane every single week, but yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that's all the questions. You got anything else, Brian?
I got nothing else. Just get out there and support if your team's at home, or if you can make the trip to wherever your team's playing, get out there and support, obviously. But if not, I mean, watch the matches and have some fun this weekend, because it's going to be a good weekend for USL for sure.
Perfectly said. Couldn't have said it any better. As usual, listen to Brian. So yeah. This has been another episode of League One on the Rocks. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week.